Gabriel tells Daniel that there are several things that are going to occur, including wars and desolations to the end. I'm Dr. Fred, and you're listening to Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
We've been talking about Daniel's 70 weeks in chapter 9, and last time we mentioned the fact that if you go to an Olympic event, a set of races, there is a clock that keeps track of each individual race. It starts at the very beginning of the race and ends or is shut off at the very end of each race. The time in between each race, there is the point where the clock is not running. It is only used to mark time during the actual timing of a race. And that's kind of what we see happening in Daniel chapter 9 between the weeks, between the 69th week, the end of that week, and the beginning of the 70th week. And that's Daniel 9, verses 24 through 27. Now, Gabriel also stated to Daniel that there would be wars to the end and desolations would occur. And that's what we're going to discuss today. I'm Dr. Fred. I thank you so much for joining me. We are continuing our series. It's called Between Weeks, and we're going to find out today a little bit more about the weeks mentioned in Daniel 9. Now, the wars to the end and the desolations that would occur, this has been the case since Christ's crucifixion. There has never been a time of peace in Israel since then. In fact, there was a great dispersion of the Jews created by God, in which all of the Jews were sent or taken out of their land and wound up in places all over the world, among numbering into 80 countries. This, I believe, was also part of God's plan. Now, when Israel became a nation again in 1948, when they literally rose from the dead, while they were accepted as a nation by the United Nations then, well, there's a question over it today. And they've still not had peace, and they don't have peace today, nor did they really have peace in 1948. In fact, Gabriel was very clear that wars and desolations would occur until the end. And the question is, the end of what? Well, though some sense and see another meaning here, it seems clear that the end that Gabriel is referring to is none other than the end of this age, which actually coincides with the end of the tribulation when Christ will return physically. Now, we know from verse 27 that the very last week of Daniel's prophecy, as told by Gabriel, does not begin until a particular he makes a covenant with the many. We also know that we don't have an official start date for the 70th week. God does, but we don't. God knows exactly when the 70th week will begin. We will only know when the covenant is signed. The entire 70-week scenario began as a matter of review here with Artaxerxes' decree to rebuild Jerusalem in 445 BC. And we already discussed that and the other possibilities for the start of the 70-week scenario. Now, it ran concurrently until Jesus presented himself as king to the people of Jerusalem. Had there been no break at all between the 69th and 70th week, there would be no problem, and the 70th week would be long behind us in history. In such a case, everything would have run concurrently, and everything again would already be in our past. There would be no question about it. Since there has been a break, and I've taken the time on a couple of episodes previously to explain where the break is and how it is made known in Scripture, now we can only know that the week starts by a specific event, and I'm referring to the beginning of the 70th week. As I've explained before, the 69th week has ended. It ended when the Messiah was cut off, killed, and immediately after that, as Gabriel tells to Daniel, and after that, and then he lists several things that must occur before the start of the 70th week, and we are still in the start of the 70th week, because as the timer is shut off from one race to the next, the time in between the races is not necessarily counted by those in the race. It is only there as it carries people along in the normal course of time. That's what's happening now. Gabriel points conclusively to two separate events, followed by the world climate until the end. These are to occur during the break, as I mentioned previously, between the 69th and the 70th weeks. And this gap prevents us from knowing exactly when the 70th week begins. As far as a date is concerned, we cannot set dates. We will only know when this last final 70th week begins, when the Antichrist creates or brokers a covenant that includes Israel and the surrounding Arab nations. When that covenant is signed, that is what kicks off the 70th week. That has not happened yet. People point to the Oslo Agreement. It hasn't happened yet. It's not in effect. There is no real peace. Now, the Lord does not leave us without clues. We know from the text that the 70th week will begin when, as I mentioned, the covenant is signed with Israel and the surrounding Arab nations, and it is supposed to last 7 years. Now, it may well be that a revised edition of the Oslo Agreement or part of the Oslo Agreement is resurrected and used. It doesn't really matter. What we know is that nothing official has been or is in place that we could call a covenant between Israel and the surrounding nations that will usher in a form of tentative peace. But the covenant, the signing of the covenant, you can bet it will be great fanfare. The world will celebrate because now the Middle East is finally at peace, brought about by someone who is new to the landscape and was able to do what no one else before him was able to do. Now, if we scan through the horizon of history, there does not seem to be any covenant that was made with Israel since the time of Christ's crucifixion that has lasted or was supposed to last 7 years. While Christ gave a new commandment and instituted a supper in his remembrance, which celebrated the new covenant through the cross, he did this during the 69th week. So that is not part of the gap or the break between the weeks. So just to recap, here's what we know so far. We know at least seven things. 70, sevens, literally refers to 490 years. The first 483 years or 69 sevens has occurred. We are in the waiting mode, the gap period. The starting point Gabriel is referring to turns out to be 445 BC, which is referenced in Nehemiah 2, verses 1 through 8. Even though there were previous decrees to rebuild Jerusalem, the only one that seems to matter is the one Artaxerxes issued, because it was with that decree that the rebuilding actually began. Thirdly, we further know that this entire period of 70 weeks is to be fulfilled with Daniel's people and Daniel's holy city. We understand Gabriel to be saying that these 70 weeks deal with Israel and Jerusalem and the Jewish people. Now, of this, there is no doubt, except people will try to allegorize it to somehow mean the church. It's wrong. Desperately wrong, in my opinion. Fourthly, we also know that the first two set of weeks run concurrently from 445 BC without any break at all. Gabriel divides these weeks of time to let Daniel know what was going to happen during those periods of time, but they're not broken up with any wait or gap period in between them. Fifthly, beyond this, we know that the 69th week concludes in verse 25 of Daniel chapter 9. Verse 26 describes the three events which will occur at the end or after the end of the 69th week, but before the beginning of the 70th week. Sixthly, since we do not have the actual starting date of the 70th week, we have to go by the main clue that Gabriel provides, and that is the covenant. This covenant is to be signed with the leaders of Israel, the many, for a period of 7 years. This length of time provides us with the knowledge that this is the final or the 70th week of God's prophetic timetable as far as Israel is concerned. And seventh, finally, in searching history from the time of Jesus' crucifixion to today, we do not see anywhere a period of 7 years in which a covenant was signed with the leaders of Israel. Because this has not occurred, then we can safely and rightly conclude that it is yet to occur. Those are things that we know. Now, there's absolutely no reason to spiritualize or allegorize any portion of this text of Daniel chapter 9. As can be clearly seen, the text speaks for itself, if it is allowed to do so. And many people have a problem with that. Those who allegorize the text to make it fit into some type of preconceived notion of what they think will take place or has taken place are doing severe damage to the text. They are literally changing God's word. And if they are wrong in changing God's word to mean something other than what those words actually mean, they are on very dangerous ground. Now, the 69th week has ended. This we know for certain because Gabriel states that the 7 and 62 weeks will bring us up to the time of the Prince, the Anointed One, otherwise known as the Messiah. It was after this that the Messiah was killed or cut off, and roughly 40 years later, Jerusalem was destroyed. There have been wars and desolations which continue through today and will last until the end of this age. We are at a point in the prophetic history when the 70th week could literally begin at any time. The only thing that needs to occur is what is slated to be the event which takes place at the very beginning of the tribulation, and that is the signing of a covenant between the second prince mentioned in the text and Israel. Now, one other important point is that while Jerusalem has obviously been destroyed in other ages prior to AD 70, since AD 70, she has been completely destroyed and literally and continually trod underfoot by Gentiles and controlled by Gentile nations. Though Israel began again to become a nation in 1948, establishing a position for herself in the Middle East, Israel has only had control of Old Jerusalem on paper. In practice, the Temple Mount area and much of Old Jerusalem has continued to be controlled by Arabs and Muslims, who of course are not, who are Gentiles, not Jews. This has been the case since 70 AD, and there seems to be no sign of change in that situation in spite of the continued rhetoric spoken by so many politicians. Now, in 1948, when Israel again took up residence in Palestine, restoration in Jerusalem and other areas of Israel began to take place. The problems which began for Israel shortly after Christ's death continue to this day. It's still there. There is no peace in Israel. There hasn't been any peace in Israel. And there won't be any peace in Israel until the covenant is signed. And only then it will be tentative peace. And as we'll learn later, the Antichrist who brokers this covenant with Israel will break the covenant halfway into the final week. And Paul talks about that in 2 Thessalonians 2. Now, we're going to discuss more of this, of course. We're not done yet. So we're going to be getting more in depth in this. We're going to talk more about the covenant. We're going to talk about Antiochus in 168 BC. We're going to talk about what the Antichrist does. We're going to talk about more of this. So I hope you'll continue to join me. And that is our show for today. Please tune in again next time here at Study, Grow, Know. I am Dr. Fred, and I thank you so much for joining me. And until we meet again, may God open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in Him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.